Okay, so let's over here continue. We're up to Perek Yud Ches. We're winding down. We're winding down this Perek. This Perek is all about the inyan of a tzaddik, a poiked avos albanim, ubanim albanim. That there are times when Hashem punishes children for the sins of their fathers, and there are times when Hashem does not punish a child for the sins of his father. That's what we've been discussing the last 3 days, and here we are winding down with pasuk chav vav. We're up to Perek Yud Ches. Chai. Yud Ches Pasuk Havav B'shuv Tzadik Mi Tzidkasov Yasa Avel Umeis Alehem. If a Tzadik here is Rachman, it's in a very sad situation where a Tzadik has Charata. He's Toya Al Harishaynes. He has Charata for his good deeds. He does B'shuv Tzadik Mi Tzidkasov. He goes back, he withdraws from his righteous deeds, the Asa Avel, and he does Averos. Umeis alehem. Pasuk says he will now die for his sins. Be'avloi asher osa yamus. Due to his sins that he has committed, he will die. And as we learned Yipsukim yesterday, all of his good deeds in the past are not going to come to his defense. And as Rashi and the Mitzudos and Radak, everyone explains, this is only in a situation where the person, the tzaddik, that was tzaddik, and has now become a Rasha, has charata, has remorse, has regret that he did good deeds in the past. And in that situation, his good deeds are not going to come to his defense, and they're not going to be part of the calculation. Let us see the pasuk in the Mitzudos, pasuk Chavav, B'shuv Tzadik. When a tzaddik he withdraws and he does averos umeis bavuram haloi beis asoso eso avlo yamos, when he does the averos he will die. Ulatoyva yitechashiv lo shlo yosef lachato. So the Mitzudos here is injecting something very, very interesting, and that this tzaddik, his good deeds do count for something. What do they count for? Is that Hashem at least takes his life prematurely so that he should not do more averos. In other words, what the Mitzudos seems to be, right, it's like the story with the Ben Sura Moira, that mutav sheyomu zakai the al yomu schayif. Now that's very fascinating, because what Mitzudos seems to be hinting to is a very fascinating idea. Is that, okay, let's review. We have here a person that was a tzaddik his entire life, or for a significant period of time, and now he wakes up one day, things are not going his way, he gets set off, and he says, "You know what? What do I need this for? What do I need to go down this path of righteousness? Look where it has taken me. I'm now going to do averos." Not only am I going to averos, I'm going to have charata. I'm going to regret all of the ma'asim toim I've done in the past. So, in Shemayim, there's obviously a big machlokes going on. It's not fair. How can we? What should we do with this person? Should he die? Should he be punished? Or should his ma'asim toim come to his defense? Should his ma'asim toim that he's done his entire life come to his defense? So, in the Pamalia Shalmaila and the Ben Shalmaila, the accusers, they say, since he has charata, he has regret for all of his good deeds, they are not going to serve as a merit.
So if that's true,
right,
then what's the point of the cutoff?
So that's exactly what. So therefore, let's compare this with another person. Let's say we have a person who was never a tzaddik. He was a Rasha. From the day he was born, he was already making trouble. So, and now he's at the same point in life as this other person. They're at the same point in life. The same point in life as the other person who was at tzaddik his entire life and now changed his mind and now started doing averos. The person that was a Rasha from the beginning, the first day of his life, is not going to die. Why is he not going to die? Shaloi nismala hasa. The measure has not yet been filled. Hashem will only punish a person when he reaches a certain point. Since this Rasha, from the time that he was born until this point in his life, has not yet done enough averos, he's not yet going to die. But the person that once upon a time was a tzaddik, and then became a Rasha, and has charata for his ma'asim tovim, and now has doing averos, and he's at the same point in time as his fellow man, but he has not yet reached the measure of sin for which he deserves to die. The Mitzudo says, based upon this pasuk, he's going to die prematurely. Why? It's a toiva. It's to his benefit, so that he should not do even more averos, and in the next world suffer even more. Now that's really amazing. Because number one, this really violates the principle of Ba'asher Husham. Hashem only punishes a person based upon what he has done so far. Hashem does not look into the future and punish a person based upon his future averos. And here the Mitzudo seems to be saying that in this instance, being that for the major portion of his life, he was a tzaddik, Hashem will make an exception, look into the future, and see that his future is not good, and Hashem will take his life prematurely. So the even
ben
though...
Mar.
Exactly, right, the Ben Sarah, that's what we said before, the Ben Sarah Mar. Now that's an incredible chiddush. And also it indicates that just because a person has charata for his ma'asim tovim, you can't totally wipe out the ma'asim tovim.
When he did them, he
was sincere.
Sincere, right.
Right, so if he was sincere, no, but... so at least it should save him now. Shouldn't it save him now? So he's saying, no, it's not going to save him now, but at least it's there to the degree where Hashem will use it as a consideration to prevent him from doing even more averos.
The evaluation should be, it's like giving a score for a student in school. Is it based on his average, or is it based on how he's done lately?
How's he done lately? Okay, so this is very bechiddush. You see, I lost it. Okay, it reminds me of a personal story. When I was in high school, I was in ninth grade. I still am a very poor student, very 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 poor. And we had a very chashuv menahel, Rav Chaim Siegel, was a very very great person. My grandfather, Rav Shmuel Roshavshik, you know my grandfather, he was a chasher Rosh Hashiva. He came from Eretz Yisrael for my brother's bar mitzvah. He wasn't well. He was very very sick, and he met my grandfather. They went to a wedding. I even know whose wedding it was. They went to a wedding, and he saw my grandfather, he saw my grandfather, so he told my grandfather very very nice things about me. Very very like really. Really laid it on thick. My grandfather came home, he was elated, he told my mother, my parents, that Rav Siegel, he said such nice things about me. And it was a very big comment, because Rav Chaim Siegel, he was like, you know, an ish mechubad. So then he calls me to the office, first thing in the morning, Rav Chaim Siegel, and he says, you know, I met your grandfather last night, I'm sure you've heard the report, and I said a lot of very, very hush things about you. It's al ha'asid. That's what he said. Al ha'asid. See, I made a roshim on me.
You gotta live up to your reputation.
So he was right. Al ha'asid.
Unfortunately, it didn't pan out. Al ha'asid. Unfortunately, chaval. Okay, but over here we have here, and that's really what the it's a
better
very.
Better than al
shabab. Who knows? Who's to say? Okay, so we have over here
the
in this.
Hasn't ended yet.
What?
The hasn't ended. It's only the beginning.
So in the Mitzudos, he's saying an incredible chiddush. I'm not making this stuff up here. He says ulutoyva, those last words of pasuk avav, everything in these sukkim here, this whole parasha is really super super bizarre. This whole idea bichlal of people. I mean, anytime you get involved in the concept of someone suffering. I mean, that right away, you're going into territory that's very, very dangerous. And there's so much repetition in these psukim. It's just very disturbing how much repetition over and over again, the same ideas. In how many words can you say it? Why will the repetition? I can't figure out and literally study that much.
It goes against what we've been saying up to now, that those good deeds are forfeited,
right.
Or even worse than
so that's the chiddush. This is the incredible chiddush of the Mitzudos Tavit, is that Eina Chinami. It's not on the record. It's not on the record anymore. But it is taken into consideration to the degree where a person will die, who you imagine will leave this world prematurely, which is viewed as a benefit to prevent him from doing more averos, for which he will suffer, be punished in the next word. The last few words of the Pasuk Vav is Ulitova Techoshev Lo Shelo Yosef Lachato. He's going to die prematurely, so he should not sin more. Which indicates that if not for the fact that he was once upon a time tzaddik, Hashem would not let him die at this point in time because he has not yet filled up the measure of sin, and Hashem will let him sin more and more and more, and then he'll die later in life with a full account of averos, for which he'll suffer much more in the next world. Okay, Rashi, there is no Rashi, let's see the Radak Pasuk Chavav. Chavav and Radak, there are two psukim. Let's go to the next pasuk, and then we'll come back to the Radak. Pasuk of Zayin, uveshuv Rasha may rish asoy asher asa. When a Rasha does teshuv, the other way around, vayas mishpat utztaka, and now at this point in time, from here on in, he does mishpat utztaka. Who es nafsho yichayeh? So by doing teshuva, he's now going to live. Let's see the mitzudo stuff. Pasuk of Zayin, uveshuv Rasha, vasher yashuv Rasha may rish asoy. Haloi b'hashava u'mishpat u'tzdaka mechayehu es nafshoi hamaskeles sheyeh loy hiskabrus al koi koyach ha'choymri. And that's a very... And he's going to give life to his neshama that is wise. Sheyeh loy hiskabrus al koyach ha'choymri. He's going to overcome his base nature. By doing teshuva, he's going to overcome his desire to do averos. He's going to live. Okay, let's see the Radak. Radak Pasuk Chavav Chavzayin, they're to go together. Umeis Aleihem Al Shuvai V'his Chortoi Mitzit Kasau. If a tzaddik goes backwards and does Averos, V'al Asoso Ha'avel Al Shneim Yonesh, he'll be punished. He's going to be punished. V'lo Hidia Zeh Heshev Inyin Ki Kvar Zucharoi V'chein Omar. Oh, this already, we already mentioned in the past, he says. We read the Pesukim before already told us this, so this is just poetic repetition. U'v'shuv Rasha V'chidesh Boi Gam Kein Zeh Inyin. What is this teaching us? V'u Amoroi V'yir'echa. That's the next, that's part, that's already Pasuk Chavches. V'yir V'yashuv K'lemar Ro Ma'asav Haroim V'yisbaynein Mochem Ki Ro'im Heim V'yischoreit Aleihem V'shav Mikol Pesh'ov V'yas Mishvot Tzedaka Al Shneim Yikabel Sochar. If a Rasha does teshuva, so he's going to receive a double reward. He's going to receive reward for doing teshuva, and he's going to receive reward for now, here on in, doing mishpat utztaka. Yechayehu michayeh nafsho b'shuva ki biyadoi hachayim v'hamavis l'fi ma'asav. Hashem has control of life and death. Period. All right, let's go to Pasuk Chavches. Vayirecha vayashav. Okay, so it's a continuation of the Rosh. The Rosh, he sees what he has done in the teshuva mikol pishuav asher asa, choyo yichya. He shall certainly live lo yamus. He will not die. Let's see the mitzvah pasuk chavches yivayir uvayireha vayireh ubavada yireh besichle shloitoy vasa barishayna a rasha what
will realize
that what he has done was not good. The yashul bikol hafeshoyim hashasav v'imkain neharoy sheyichiv lo yamus ki oz yosef teshuva masim tovim, and then it's fitting that he should live and not die. Okay, radak chavches vayireh. Mivahu itself understood. We have now some diktok. Choyo yichya bevav v'chol haniskadim l'mala. Choyo yichya behei. V'echad hu ki amokar minochei halamid minakal yavoy bevav oyahei. I don't know what this means, but basically here it says choyo yichya, and before it says with the hey choyo yichya. So it's all the same, just different ways of expressing the same idea. Next pasuk chavtes. Now the amru base. Again, this is again repetition of what we said yesterday. The amru base is shol lo yitachin derech Hashem. Okay, we emphasized this theme yesterday. This is the worst possible thing a person can say to Hashem, lo yitachin. Hashem, you are incorrect. You are mistaken. It's one thing to say that Hashem, you are correct, but it's just that my taiva, it's my desire to do averos is overwhelming. I can't control myself. But to say to Hashem, lo yitachein derech Hashem, the way of Hashem is not correct, is the worst thing a person could say. Hadrochai lo yitachenu. So Hashem responds, hadrochai lo yitachenu beis Yisrael. Same exact thing we said yesterday. Is it my way that is incorrect? Halo darcheichem lo yitachenu. It is your way that is incorrect. Let us see the mitzvahs pasuk of test v'yamu v'eich yamu. How dear klal Yisrael say to Hashem that my way is not correct. Hashem responds, Hadirachai im darki lo yitachein ka imer halo asechel mechayev derech mishpati. My way is forgiven. It's your way that is incorrect. Let's see Rashi lo yitachein kmo lo yisok yitachein. We had that before. Radak pasuk of tes v'yamu hadirachai loshen rabim v'shulamayla hadarki loshen yachid. He points out that before it was b'loshein. What? You can't hear?
No, there's a lot of things
coming from over here. Okay. So here it says, before it was Blashon Rabim, and now it's Blashon Rabim. Before the previous Pasuk was Blashon Yachid. What's the significance? I do not know. Pasuk Lamet. Lachain, therefore, Ish Kidrachov Eshpoid Eschemes Yisrael Lum Hashem Elokim. The bottom line over here is Hashem. So I'm going to, each person is going to be judged. The bottom line is, we have over here three generations. The grandfather, the son, and the grandson. Like the Haggadah. Right, there are three generations. The grandfather was a tzaddik, the son was a rasha, and the third generation was a tzaddik. And the bottom line over here is Hashem now sums up the entire parak. You should be aware that I will judge each man individually. Neither one of these three generations will be judged for the sins of the other generation. Shuvu, and therefore, if you find yourself in the red, you find yourself in the zone that is of chait, all you have to do is teshuva. Shuvu, v'hashivu mikol pesheichem, and repent, the double expression of all of your sins, v'lo yeh lochem l'michshol avoin, and your sin should not be a stumbling block for you to be punished. Let's see this pasuk in. And the Mitzudos Pasuk Lamed says, Lochin therefore, Hoyle since Vasechel Machayev came, Lochin therefore, Eshvad Gam Eschem called Ish Kifid Haderech Shu Atabo. Since the Hashem's rules demand, dictate, that a person is only judged by himself, he's not held responsible for the sins of the past, of his past generation, Lizos Shuvu Atem Be Atzmechem, Veshivu Esnav Meshechem Ubenechem, therefore you do Shuva. Okay, here's an important point. When it says v'hashivu means influence others. Not only should you do tshuva for your sins, if your wife or your children are doing averos, you have an obligation to influence them to do tshuva. And by doing so, v'lo yiyeh ritzon lo imoheh avoyin asher bideichem, the sins that are in your hands, lo yiyeh lochem l'michshol ki lo yizocher od, you'll no longer be held responsible, v'tziyu nishpatim l'zuchus, and if you'll do tshuva, Hashem will only judge you based upon your later deeds. Hashem's not going to judge based upon your early deeds, your sins. Rashi, there is Rashi Lamed, shuvu atem v'hashivu esacherim, exactly what it says in the Mitzudos. You do tshuva and make sure you influence other people to do tshuva as well. Radak, pasuk lamed, and therefore.
Does your tradition omit the French words?
No, it does not. I'm sorry. I'm just not saying it.
Okay, what?
Return. Okay, let's go now to the next. And what's the previous pasuk? Pasuk of Tes lo yitachein. Kamo lo yitachein. What's that French word? Pasuk of Tes. I skip it also.
It says just or right.
Right, okay. Let's see the Radak quickly. La pasuk lam lechem shuvu v'shivu v'shuvu atem v'shivu ish etz achiv. You do teshuva and influence others. Yerushalayim take him tuvu lepulchani. Return to my service. Ve'ado minchoin pulchan ta'avoschoin. And I think we move from you the avodah zara. Do teshuva v'lo yelochem minias hateshuva. Do not withhold, do not withhold tshuva, so that it should not be your sin should not be a stumbling block for you. Okay, pasuk lamed aleph, hashlichu me'aleichem eskol pesheichem asher peshatem bam. Cast off from upon yourselves all of your sins. Vasulachem, make for yourself a leiv chadash, a new heart, v'ruach chadasha, a new spirit. V'lama samusu beis Yisrael. Why? Why should you do that? This is a very, very famous pasuk
from
Mila. Let's read the pasuk on the days as well together. Ki lo echbeitz b'mois hanes. Hashem does not want the mace, the mois hanes. Okay, nu'um Hashem Elokim. So says Hashem, v'hashivu, rather do tshuva v'chiyu and live. And notice it says Hashem does not want the mace to die. A person when he's alive can be considered mace. You can be physically alive. Your heart can be beating. You have a pulse. But in halacha, in Hashem's eyes, the person is dead, and the only thing left to do is to take his life, to take his physical life. So Hashem says he does not want that to happen, even though a person is neshama, a person is balavera. And balavera. So the goal is Hashem does not want it to come to that. Let's see these two psukim in the Mefarshim. Pasuk Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis. Pasuk Lamed Aleph says, Hashlichu Ritzon Eloimar Hischaru to Aleihem V'Yushluchu Bozeh Have regret for your sins. Make for yourself a leiv chadash. L'skariv l'avoydasi to come close to my service. V'lama samusu ki imlo toshuvu. If you do not teshuva, hine tamusu, you will die. V'yimkein lama tigru l'chem amisa v'ha'avdan. Why should you bring upon yourself death? Lama deiz ki lo echbaitz v'tog lemak mashani neshel al ha'teshuva. Hu al ki ein chefzi b'misa sameis. I do not want you to die. Asher yamus b'avaynoi v'ashivu l'chein ha'ashivu etzmechem min ha'pesha. V'sechiu, therefore, better do teshuva and live. Radak. Pasik Lamed Beis Lamed Aleph Hashlichu Alechem Hischaru to Alechem Vezet Hashlichu on Sheim Pasik Lamed Beis Kilo Echbeis for my Sameis Al Sheim Soifai. Now here he says, why is he called the Mace? So I gave you one interpretation that when a person is alive, he's already called dead spiritually. The only difference is I don't want you to come to physical death. As long as you're physically alive, you have an opportunity to reverse the spiritual death. The Radak has a better interpretation. The Radak says when it says Mace, Al Shem Soifai. The reason why Hashem does not want the dead to die, it means that if you will continue down this path, then you will be dead. So when it says Mace, it's Al Shem Soifai, V'chein Tegum Yonasan, D'chayav Limsas, the one that is Chayav, the one that is guilty to die. K'moshe Tegum Unkelis, D'chayav Kital, the one that is guilty and deserving of death. Okay, that concludes this parak. Okay, the three generations. Now let me just tell you some, a few quick memory chazal. Number one, in this pasuk over here, pasuk Lamed Beis, where it says Kiloyach Beis the Meis Hameis, the Medrash says that Hashem, the chazal used this pasuk as to make us aware that Hashem is not like the meat of basar v'dam. When a man goes to court against his friend, a litigant, you don't want to lose; you want to win. I'm taking you to court. I'm suing you for $1 million. I want to win, win, win. I don't want to lose, lose, lose. Hashem is not like that. When Hashem takes us to court, Hashem wants to lose. Okay, Hashem wants, that is a very fascinating idea of how we look at it when we come to court, when we come to complain against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to recognize that we are Yom HaDin, Yom HaMishpat, whatever the situation is. We realize that it's very easy to win because Hashem wants us to win. We just have to present the evidence and be sincere in our teshuvah, and you are A-okay. You know, in America, I always tell you, in America, you always see this in the media. You pay close attention in politics and the media, whenever there's a celebrity, some very famous person that gets into trouble, the court, they want more than anything else is to say you're sorry. In America, if you say you're sorry and are willing to go for therapy, are willing to go for treatment, it goes a long, long way. Person says, "I've done nothing wrong. I'm innocent," and you're guilty. They'll throw the book at you. They'll throw the book at you and they'll lock a person up forever. But you always see there are many situations. As long as you loyde al ha'emes, you loyde al ha'emes. What?
Throw yourself on the mercy of the court.
It works. It works in America to a very large degree. That's a very interesting midah. It's a very big suchus we have in this country. And it's really a midah that's from Hashem. Hashem very much wants to lose. He wants to lose the court case. He wants us to win. But of course, we have to be sincere in our Karata and our teshuva. Okay, the next short idea is going back to Pasik, the Pasik that we started with today. I'll bring you a chazal to it, just emphasize the point. Uvishuv rasha meirisha soya asher asa. This Pasik of Zion, it says he's going backwards. Shuv. I'm sorry. Let's go back to Pasik of Vav. Vishuv tzadik mitzitka soya vi asa avel. This Pasik says he's going backwards. What do you mean he's going backwards? If a person is a tzaddik from the day he's born, the moment he's born, he's a tzaddik, he has not done any avera, he davens, he learns, he gives tzedakah, he does chesed, and now he's 90 years old, and now he's shuv, he's going backwards, he's returning to do averos. You can only return from a place from which you have come. If you have never done averos your entire life, where then are you returning to? So indeed, Chazal understand that Pasuk Chavav is discussing a very specific type of tzaddik. A tzaddik who originally was a Rasha. So in other words, when he started out his early life, he was a wicked man. And then he became a tzaddik, Baal Teshuvah. And he spent a significant part of his life being a tzaddik. And then at the very end, he's going back to his old ways. Going back to his early youth when he was once a Rasha. This type of person is the one upon whom we say, then, umeis aleihem ba'avloi asher asa yamos. He is judged with a stricter degree of midas hadin because he did not have a good beginning. In his beginning, he decided to be a Rasha, which alludes to the fact that, let's say, a person that was a tzaddik me'ikaroi, he's a tzaddik from the very, very beginning, and then he does averos, the end of the averos, and so then the rules that that we have here in this pasuk are not necessarily true. It could very well be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take into account his ma'asim tovim that he has done early in his life, and he will not die because he was a tzaddik. He has a much stronger foundation, and those mitzvahs that he has done will somehow protect him not to die due to the sins that he has committed now. Let me just elaborate upon the Gemara. He used this pasuk in reference to Shmuel HaKatan. Okay, everyone, Shmuel HaKatan was one who composed the bracha of Olam Al Shinim. Shmone Esrei, we have 18 brachas. We call the Shmone Esrei the Shmone Esrei. But what's so funny is never ever do we have 18 brachas in the Amidah. On a regular day, it's 19 brachas. On Shabbos, it's 7. On Rosh Hashanah, it's 9. We never have in the Shemoneh Esrei 18 brachas. Now, when did that change? It changed with Shmuel HaKatan when he added the bracha V'lam al Shinim al Tehi Sikva. So Chazal, there were no sidurim. A person gets up to daven the Shemoneh Esrei, the Baal Tefillah, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, he forgets. He doesn't remember the Shemoneh Esrei. So Ma'avir Noiso, we remove him. He is dismissed. Let me read the Gemara. Let me turn to the right page. Okay, I'll read you the whole Gemara. It's a long Gemara. It's a famous Gemara. It's the Sechel Brachas, Daf Chav Tes. Uveshiv Tzadik, Tan Rabban Shimon HaPakoli. Okay, Shimon HaPakoli means he was a Moicher Tzemer. He had a Parnasa. He would sell wool. His Tzir Shimon Esher Brachas, Tefer Ram Gamliel, I'll say there, B'yavne, he was the one, he was the Baal Tzfila. Amal Ram Gamliel, Lachavim, Klum Yesh Odom, Sheyedil Lesakin, Birchas Haminim. So Shimon HaPakoli gets credit, it seems, for being the one who made the Shmone Esrei. And Rav Gamliel, he wanted there in addition, he wanted the 19th bracha of Eshkach, thank you very much. Doubles. Okay. Ask you that. By the way, I went to the whole thing. I went to the whole thing. On the train, I went to the whole thing. That's very good.
Okay. How many
typos
did you
pull? What?
How many
typos? I do a lot of typos?
There are
a few. I went very quickly.
One probably wrote in, but one of the kids he said he misquoted something completely.
Okay, it's very interesting. So Shimon HaBashos, Rav Gamliel, he went in the bracha of Olam Al Shinim. What happened? Klum yesh adam sheyadeh l'sakein birchas haminim. Is there a person who knows to end in the bracha in order to save us from the apikorsim which are going to destroy us? So Amar Shmuel HaKatan, he went and he arranged the 19th bracha. And what happened? The next year, l'shon acheres shechacha, he forgot. He forgot the bracha. V'hishkif ba, and he dwelt upon it for 3 hours. Shtayim v'sholosh shos. In other words, he was a shliach tzibur. Shmuel HaKatan was davening for the amud. He was a shliach tzibur. And when he came to the bracha v'lam al shinim after he sikfa, or the way the real bracha is v'lam mishumadim, v'lam mishumadim, v'lam minim v'lam mishumadim after he sikfa. There are many. You have to see the correct Gerson, the Siddur Vilna. If you have the Siddur Vilna, they have the probably one floating around in the shul. The Siddur Vilna that is published by the Neturi Karta. Anyone knows that? Know that Neturi Karta. They make their parnasa from that Siddur. The Siddur Vilna.
That's their favorite bracha.
And it's a phenomenal siddur. It's a really unbelievable. What's in that siddur is just not to be believed. And they have there the original nusach, the original nusach is very bizarre. I tell you, some I know a shul, they had no clue that the Turi Karta was the one who published the Siddur, and when they found out, there was a big dilemma what to do. So they decided not to take it out of the shul, but not to buy any more. I told my mother about it, so she told me I should take it out of the house. Okay. But anyway, it says over there, so he went and he was saying the bracha v'lam al shinim, and then he forgot. Shmuel HaKatan himself, who wrote the bracha, forgot the nusach of the bracha. So he was sitting there in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. Could you imagine this? For 2-3 hours, everyone is waiting for him to remember the nusach of the bracha. So the Gemara asked the question, why did they allow him to remain standing in the middle of the Shmoneh Esrei? They should have picked him up and took him out. Because we have a halacha, a person forgets the bracha, we suspect that he is one of the minim. He is one of the minim, the apikarsim, and the reason why he does not want to say the bracha is because he does not want to curse himself. So the Amar Yehuda Amarav Atah B'chol HaBrachas Kulam Ein Malin Oysav. A person makes a mistake in any one of the 18 brachas, he is not to be removed from the Beis HaKnesses. But B'birchas HaMinim Malin Oysav, we remove him. So the Gemara says, why Chayi Shin Shem Minu? So the Gemara says, Shaini Shmuel HaKatan Tiyu Taknin Enochinami. If it was someone else who made a mistake in the bracha, we would have removed him in the middle of the Shmoneh Esrei. But being that Shmuel HaKatan was the one who composed the bracha, it's not possible to say that he is a min. If he's the one who made the bracha for the entire Klal Yisrael, obviously he believes in the bracha. So the Gemara asks the question, V'nechosh Dilma Hodar Bey. Maybe Shmuel HaKatan later in life became an apikores. It's true, when he composed the bracha, he was part of the team, but he went to the other side. He went to the dark side. Amar Abaya. Abaya says, this is a very famous, very, very interesting Gemara, a lot of depth in this Gemara, Tova Lohave Bisha. We have a tradition that a person, this is an amazing yisoid, a person who is good does not become bad. A Tova Lohave Bisha, a good person does not go off the derech. There's a chazakah. There's a chazakah. If you've made it to a certain point in your life and you have not done any major averos, there's a haftacha, you're going to be a tzaddik until the very, very end. So the Gemara says, really? What about Sefer Yechet? What? Okay, Al Pam Yatzmach, Al Pam Yatzmach, the derech klal, ruba the ruba, person makes it until a certain point. There's a tradition, there's an assumption. So the Gemara asks the question, v'loi? But it says, let's see. So the Gemara asks the question from this very pasuk that we just learned in Sefer Yecheskel. V'lo v'yaksiv uvishuv tzadik mitzidka sovi asa aval. The Gemara in Brachos that we're quoting says, really? You're telling me there is a tradition, there is a presumption that a tzaddik, if he made it to a certain point in your life without doing averus, you're not going to do averus until the very end? But it says explicitly in Yecheskel that there is such a reality that a tzaddik can do shuv, can go off the deep end. So the Gemara says, the Gemara answers, okay, so the Gemara answers, Mitretz HaGemara, the parish over here, V'imash HaKosav Rosh U'vishuv Tzadik Shemashmoso Shehu Shav L'mal Shoyi Koidem L'mash HaKvonu Ahu. That's Allahu Shahoyo Rosha Me Koroi Vishav. Aval Tzadik Me Koroi Lo. Exactly the answer that we told you before is when the Pasik here says that there's a reality that a person, a Tzadik, can become a Rosha, that's when he was a Rosha to begin with. He started off as being a Rosha. Then he became a Tzadik. Now there's no guarantee. Just because you've been a tzaddik for 50 years, who are we to say that you're going to remain a tzaddik to the very, very end? Maybe at the very, very end, you're going to change your mind and go back to the way you were when you started in the beginning of your life. That is the situation that the pasuk is addressing. But a person who starts out as a tzaddik in kindergarten and as a tzaddik to a certain point in his life, then we apply the principle, tova, loy, Havei Bisha. A good person will not become a bad person. So it's very clear in the Gemara how the Gemara interprets this pasuk.
A person may start out as a rasha because he doesn't know any, but his environment is.
So that's not necessarily a rasha. Enochanami. The person starts as a tinuk shenishba. That's so he's not doing averos lahachas. We're dealing over here with the person. We say it was rasha meikar. We mean the person who made a decision. He's an adult. Not a child, he's an adult. He's presented with the, he's given a situation. He has to make a decision, and he decides to be a rush. That is the case that we're clearly discussing. Atinik Shanishba, what do you want from him? He was brought up, you know, he's a miyuchas, part of the mafia. So what you know, it's not necessarily his fault. Okay, now, and in fact, the Gemara, as Rabbi Kanner mentioned, is, am I pronouncing your name right, Rabbi Kanner? How do you pronounce your name? I'm sorry. Callus. Right, Callus mentioned is the Yoichanan Kohen Gadol. Yoichanan Kohen Gadol became a tzedokah at the very, very end. He's what we say in the Al Hanisim. The name Matisya ben Yoichanan Kohen Gadol Chashmoy Nohi. So who is Yoichanan? So there's a whole shayla who that Yoichanan was, but some say that was Yoichanan Kohen Gadol and he did not have a good end. He turned into a tzedokah at the very end, according to one opinion. And I'll read you that this Gemara as well. We'll read the quote over here in this Sefer. Elisha ben Avuya. So what happened to Elisha ben Avuya? The Gemara asks exactly this question. How could it be that he went off the derech? The Gemara says he was bad to begin with. Because when he was sitting in Cheder, underneath the table, like it's like in today's generation. Today you go to a shir, unfortunately, everyone has sits with their, I do it also, unfortunately, so who am I to say? You go to a shir, and under the table you have your cell phone. You surf the web, and you check your email and you text. Okay, so it's one thing, it's an emergency, it's important, but it's just stop. The shir is boring. So easy in the olden days, the shir is boring, so what are you going to do? But today it's a very big nisayon, because today you do it, so you got to be careful that the maggid shir shouldn't see you do it. But today they don't have a choice, because that's the way the world we live in today. So he also had a cell phone. Alish ben Avuya, but when he was surfing, he was surfing things that the filter would not let you surf. He disabled the filter. He was surfing apikursis. He was surfing Greek philosophy. Chochmas Yevanis. Who's Menachem?
Yeah, but in the Chagiga, the Shammai's predecessor. So it was Hillel and Menachem.
Oh yeah, I know this. Yeah, so he also went off the derech.
Hillel and Menachem, Yotze Menachem Nechta Shammai.
Aha. So he also went off the derech.
Went with the government, and he was the Abbezdin.
And he left.
And he left with the Roman government to take care to run, and he became an Abbezdin.
Wow.
With all his students with him.
So with regard to Elisha ben Avuya, Chazal say, how did it happen? Because originally, when he was in Cheder, under the table, he was learning Chochmas Yevanis. So in Echadami, it was Shuv Tzadik Mitzitkosa, it was a Shuv, he went back to the older way, he went back to the sins of the past. Now, what about Yoichanan Kohen Gadol? So here, let me very quickly read you the Gemara. The Gemara here says, So the Gemara goes further, and this I mentioned before, just because a person was a tzaddik meikara, Rabbi Mayevsky asked this question, just because you were a tzaddik meikaroi, who says the guarantee? What about the prosik of al tamin be'atzmecha ad yoim moischa, mishnah pirkei avos? And the example the Gemara gives is Yoichanan Kohen Gadol Shimesh Bichuna Gedola Shemoinim Shana. Could you imagine 80 years? You couldn't just hold that a little bit longer? Right? 80 years.
In service.
How old was he? He was probably 120, right? He probably went to the first to become Kohen Gadol. Ulivasoif Naset Sidoki. So isn't that shocking? 80 years in service, and then the very end, Yoichanan Kohen Gadol became a Tzedoki. Abaya, and Abaya goes on to say who Yanai. Worse, Abaya says that Yoichanan was Yanai Hamelech, and Yanai Hamelech. Well, he was a Rasha. What did he do? He killed all of the Chachamim. So he not only was he a Tzedoki, he was worse. He was a murderer. It's one thing you want to be a Tzedoki, you want to give a shir, apikursis, you want to give shiurim, you want to go work for who knows what. Okay, but you're a tzeach. And who do you kill? You kill the Talmidei Chacham, even worse. Who Yochanan? Rav Amar Yanai. So Rav says, no, it's not so. Okay, Yanai Lachud Yochan Lachud Yanai Rasha make so Yanai Rasha Mekar Yochan and Tzadik Mekaray Hanich Lavam. We're running the Gemara because now we get all the different details. We know Amar Kasha Amar Lachravat Tzadik Mekaray Nami Vil Mahadavei Ihachi Amai Loi Askuhu Sharni Shmuel Kasam. So Inachan the Gemara, so Inachan he disagrees. The Gemara's Maskan is according to Rava. Rava disagrees with the previous opinion in the Gemara that even a person that was a Tzadik Mekaray can go off the deep end. And Achanami, there is no guarantee. And that brings back the question, why then did they not remove Shmuel HaKotan when he made a mistake in the bracha of Vilama Alashim? Until now we can say, Shmuel HaKotan, he was a tzaddik meikaroi. Chazaka, tova lo hove bisha. Shmuel HaKotan was a tzaddik meikaroi. There is no need to suspect that now he has become an apikores. There is no need to remove him from saying the Shmona Esrei when he makes a mistake in the bracha of Olam Al Shinim. But according to Rava, that says that even a tzaddik meikaroi can later on in his life become a rasha, he does not hold of the principle of chazaka that a tova lo have bisha. Why then did they not remove Shmuel HaKotan in the middle of Shmona Esrei? So the Gemara gives a technical answer that since he started the bracha, we don't have him stop. When a person makes a mistake, it's only when you make a mistake in the beginning of the bracha. But if you start out in the bracha good, everything is going good, you're moving along fine, and then you get stuck in the middle, then we don't assume there's a problem. It's an honest mistake. You have to just recall from memory what the words are. It's not because there is any netiyah, any little leaning towards apikorsis. Now this is a very good principle. I remember that I used to daven, I used to say brachas for a person named Ramiteshin. He always used to tell me this. He used to come very, very early. I came much later. And before davening, he would ask me to say the brachas so he can answer amen to the brachas. So he always used to tell me this. What he says, the Gemara Bava Metzia says, if a person buys a field, he told me that Rav Shlomo Hyman, his Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Hyman from Tar Vadas, he had a picture, and he shows you in the Siddur. They opened up the first page of the Siddur. In the Siddur, there was a picture of Shlomo Hyman. He lived with the Tzura of him before him, and he said one day, this Rav Miteshni came late to davening, and Rav Shlomo Hyman approached him and said, "Let me tell you what it says in the Gemara, above the Sea. If a person buys a field, I agree to sell you a certain number of acres and of land that's fit for planting. And then you discover that in the field there are boulders, there are pits, or there are avanim, bayrois, shichun, ma'arais. So the buyer comes back to the seller, I paid $1,000, and it's defective. There are parts of the field that are not suitable for planting. I want to cancel the sale, and I want my $1,000 back." The seller says, "No, I'm not going to cancel the sale. You gave me $1,000. Being that part of the field is not suitable for planting, so, you know, I'll give you back $100. 90% of the field is suitable for planting, so it really should have only cost $900. I'll give you back $100. They go to a Din Torah. Who wins the Din Torah? The Gemara says, it depends where the boulders and the pits are located. If it's in the Techilas HaSodeh, when you enter the field, the first thing you come in contact with is the pit or the rock land, Mekach Tos. The Mekach is Chozer. But if the boulders and the pits are in the middle of the field, it's a good sale, and you have to make an adjustment, you get back your $100. So Rav Shlomo Hyman told this person, this Rabbi Miteshin, that this is a mashal for a person's day. If the beginning of the day starts, every person you plan that every it should be a perfect day, your day should be complete with Torah, mitzvahs, ma'asim tovim, success. And we all know when it comes time at night to go to sleep, you look back at your day, it's usually a disaster. I don't know about you. You accomplish far less than you plan. And so question is, was it worth anything to begin with? So the answer is, it all depends. If the beginning of the day is good, then it's a good day. Okay, you have to make adjustments. You have to reassess. You got to plan forward different for the next day. But if the beginning of the day is a disaster, if there are boiras, shichin and boiras, in the Techilas Hayoim, the whole day is a Mekach Tos. So he told him, davening is the beginning of the day. If you come late to davening, and you don't daven the way you should daven, then the whole day is a mekach tos. But if you daven good, you come early, you learn, you daven, and you get off on a good footing, and then in the middle of the day you got some problems. Nope. It's a good day. You'll make adjustments. Okay, so here really is exactly what the Gemara here is saying with regard to Shmuel HaKadosh. According to Rebbe holds, there are no guarantees in this world. A person can start off being a tzaddik meikaray and make a left turn, and who knows where he'll end of his life. Why then did they now remove Shmuel HaKadosh when he made a mistake in the Berach of Olam al Shir Malti Sikva? It's because he got off to a good start. He got off to a good start in the bracha. If you get off to a good start, that's already an assumption that when we have a doubt, when we have a question, are you corrupt or are you smart? We have a right to make to rely upon the fact that if it's a good start, and now we do not know what's taking place, we could assume that that you are okay as well. Okay, now there's another chazal. Another one, before we go to the next parak, a whole new topic. Let's just put another chazal. Who is Nafsha Yichayeh? Now this is a famous Masechta. It's a Masechta Shabbos about the letters of the Aleph Beis, and the Gemara says, "Who is Nafsha Yichayeh?" Now the word "who." What is "who"? Who is "who" referring to? In this pasuk, pasuk chav Zayin, uveshuv Rasha me rish asa yasher asa veyas mishpalut staka. Who es nafsho yichayeh? The simple translation of the pasuk tells us that the word "who" refers to the rasha himself. Here we have a man who is a rasha. He's cruising along, and now he wakes up and says, "You know what? It's not a good idea to be a rasha. Let me do teshuvah." So when he does teshuvah, he himself now has brought life. Nafsho yichayeh has brought life upon himself. That would appear to be the simple translation. However, the Medrash appears to say "who" refers to Hashem. That when a person decides to do teshuvah, Hashem enters into the picture, and Hashem now gives this neshama a new dosage of life. And to illustrate that, there's a famous Masechta the Shabbos, and there's a question: why is the kuf, and every letter of the Aleph Beis is merames on something very significant or symbolic. We once spent time here in the Shir learning the letters. Remember that? That was like when we first learned the letters of the Aleph Beis. So the kuf is merames on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kuf merames Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Reish, now what comes after the kuf is the Reish. That refers to the Rasha. So isn't that amazing? The kuf is Kadosh, Hashem. Reish is a remes to the Rasha. They're juxtaposed. The Neymar Kuf.
You have the Tzadi before it.
The Tzadi before the Kuf, and then you have the Kuf, and you have the Reish, but still Hashem is in the proximity of the Rasha. It's a Pella. But so what happens? The Neymar Kuf Machzir Panav Reish, but the Kuf is facing the opposite direction from the Reish. In other words, the Reish faces towards the left, right? The Reish is facing the left, and the Kuf is... The kuf is not looking one at another. Why is that so? El malamit shama lo kashbaruchu the rasha ein yochol l'stakel b'tzelim demutzchai. I can't look at you. Turn around. Hashem is saying to the rasha, I'm the kadosh. I cannot tolerate to look at you. So I want you to turn around. In other words, the same fascinating thing is that really the reish should have been written not the way we write it. To the left, going it should be written going to the right. The essence of this choymer, of this tsura, of this letter in the Aleph Beis, Reish, every time you see a Reish in the Sefer Torah, you should recognize, really the Sefer should have written that letter in the other direction. But being that the Reish represents the Rasha, Hashem says, turn your back, turn around, I don't want to look at you, turn around. Why does the kuf is not connected, the bottom of the kuf is not connected to the top of the kuf. Really, the Gemara is saying is that the bottom of the kuf should be connected to the top of the kuf. And by the way, that's a very interesting topic because in some very old Sifrei Torah, the bottom of the kuf is connected to the top. It's connected to the top. Halacha l'maisa b'zman hazeh, the Sefer is posel gomor. It's 100% posel to talk about, but it appears that not every one of the Rishonim hold that it's posel. That according to some Rishonim, the tsur of the kuf is where the kuf, in the body, the letter of the kuf, does indeed make contact with the top part of the kuf, at least in the various, not fully, but but a little bit. I once read up on this. Again, halacha today b'zman hazeh doesn't make a difference because that's not the halacha, it's pasul. But the Gemara clearly illustrates is that the kuf is not supposed to touch. The bottom of the kuf is not supposed to touch the top of the kuf. The reason why it's I'm giving you an opportunity to come back inside to me. The bottom of the kuf is not connected to the top in order to have an opening that the Rasha can make his way back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And not only that, there's a tag. On the top of the kuf, there's a little teeny crown. The Eksha Lucha Keser Kavoit Shenemar. And here is what we need for Yecheskel. This beautiful Mamar Chazal of the kuf, the resh, the tsura of the resh, and the tsura of the kuf, that it's suspended to allow an opening for the rasha, and the fact that there is a tag, there is a crown on top of the kuf, which is really meant to be as a gift to the resh, is all rooted in what we have just learned here in Sefer Yecheskel, uvishuv rasha meirisha so vayas mishpulutzdaka hu HaKadosh Baruch Hu es nafsho yichayeh. Hashem will give life to this neshama. Hashem, and that giving life is by making a Pesach to come back within me, and by giving you a crown to sustain yourself, to receive honor and covenant in your existence. Okay, let's just go to another Maimon Chazal. We'll wind up with one more Maimon Chazal, and this comes from really going back to Pasuk Yud Gimel. The very important Chazal is, how do we know the content of Kamlei B'Dirabamine? The concept of, well, really Kamlei, or you really, the person gets the most, let me read the Gemara. It's in Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, on Daf Pei Aleph. It says in the Pasuk, Domav Bo Yihyeh. Let me, in fact, go back to the Pasuk to explain what it means. I'm going back to Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Yud Gimel is a list, or really it includes a whole series of sins that the second generation child has done. Right, going back to the Pasuk Yud, we have here a Ben Poritz, a child who's a Rasha, he's a Shefech Dam, a murderer. Then he does, what else does he do? He does El Harim Le'ochal, El Harim Ochal, he does Avodah Zarah. And Eshes Re'eu Timei, he commits adultery, so there's only three Averos, Avodah Zarah, Gilei Rayis, Shvich Hasdamim. And then it goes on to say, he causes harm, he does gazela, he does not return the pledge when he lends money, he takes ribis, v'choy, lo yichyeh, he's not going to live. Eis kol ha'toivos ha'ele asa, mos yumas damav bo, his blood will be upon him, yiyeh. Now, the word damav bo, what is that? Is that what? Which one of the Dalid Nisos Bezdin is it referring to? The expression damav bo, in which one is it used in reference to? Skila. Okay. Problem here is this man has done many averos. He has done avodah zarah, gilui rayis, shvich hasdamim, which includes chenek, and includes also is there also sreifa. So let me read the Gemara. The Gemara here says damav bo, damav bo yeshu misa skila. If a person is chayiv a double death, Bezdin gives him the more severe death. How do you know this? You can maybe make an argument that maybe we should give him only maybe the lighter death. So the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin derives this halacha from this very pasuk. How do we know? It says, Elohim Ochal. It says he did avodah zarah. V'al eish esrei loy timei v'al agilum nasa enough. Hoyle ben parit shevich dam. So it says here shvichas damim is saif. The halacha is if a person murders his fellow man, he's chayiv misa. Which type of death? Saif. What's saif? Decapitation. They take a sword and they chop the person's head off. That's really what it is. The guillotine. Isn't that really what it is? Okay. That's Misa Saif. That's what the Torah demands for a person who is a Retzeach. Es Eishes Re'eu Timei, Zo Eishes Ish, Zo Chbechene. If a man commits adultery, how does he put to death? Strangulation. They tie a scarf around his neck and they keep on pulling. They keep on pulling until he chokes to death. V'yel ha'gilulim lo nasa enav, avod zazov l'schavim. What is that? Skila. The person worships idols. What do? They throw him off a three-story building, and then they stone him. So here, the person, the Pasuk explicitly says that this individual has done all three averos. And the Pasuk concludes, which one does he get? Domov, Bo, Yiyeh, and that is Skila. Which of the three is the most severe? Skila. Skila, in Chazal's opinion, is the most severe. What?
Not is it Machlaik?
I think Machlaik is for Chedek, Chedek and Saif, maybe?
Skila and
Sreifa. We don't have Sreifa. Here, in this pasuk, there is no sin for which there is the Chi of Sreifa. Sreifa is only a Bas Koyein, that's an Arusa, that is Mezaneh. So her, they open up her neck and they pour molten lead down her throat. That burns her body, but keeping burn takes her life. So this is, so we have three averos. Each one has its unique misa. The pasuk clearly indicates that the misa he's going to receive is skila, that teaches us a halacha that a person is judged with the most severe form of death.
Exception to the rule of, you know, you get more severe one. Somebody owes you money, and you get, and he lies, and he lies up the shrewd. So he's supposed to get malchus. So he always gets malchus. It says, he would rather have the money. So they make an exception to the rule. And they say, the guy doesn't, he's not interested if you get lashes. He wants his $1,000 back.
Okay.
So we're going to give him the $1,000.
Say, give you the malchus. Interesting.
He doesn't get the money. It's an exception.
Yeah, I understand.
The guy wants his money back.
Okay, now we're going, so this is, we're going now to a new topic. New topic, Perik Yud, test the star for a few minutes. The Atah saw Kina el Nisya Yisrael. Now we're starting Kinos. I know it's Erev Pesach, and Erev Pesach we don't like to talk about Tisha B'Av, but the first day of Pesach is the same day of the week as Tisha B'Av. And here Hashem, I want you to raise up a Kina, a lament, to specifically the Nisiyei Yisrael, to the leaders of the kings. The whole parak here deals with the last series of kings after the death of Yoshiyahu. Let's review the history. Yoshiyahu was killed by Paro Necho. Yoshiyahu was the king at the most glorious time, and one of the very, very, very good time. He brought Klal Yisrael back from the brink of Churban, and he was king for 31 years, and he was a very, very great tzaddik. And he did not want to allow Paro Necho to pass through Eretz Yisrael on his way to go to war with the king of Ashur, with the king of Ashur. So what happened? He stopped him. Yirmiyahu told him.
No.
Paro Necho. It was Paro Necho. He was going to Karkamish. He wanted to go to. No, that's where the battle took place. He wanted to go to fight with Ashur, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Not in Nebuchadnezzar. Pretty sure. He was on his way to battle, and Yirmiyah told Yoshiyahu, allow Paro Necho rite of passage. Allow him to fly over. Allow him to fly over. Don't make trouble. Turn off your anti-aircraft defense systems. Let him fly over. Yoshiyahu said, but it says in the pasuk, "V'cherev le'savar bi'artzachem, afilu cherev shel shalom." Yirmiyahu said, "Not so fast. Klal Yisrael, they're not such tzaddikim. Let's not be fooled here. They're not such tzaddikim. We're not living in times of Mashiach where we are deserving of the pasuk, v'cherev le'savar bi'artzachem." Yoshiyahu did not like the answer of Yirmiyahu. He sinned and he rejected Yirmiyahu's advice, and he told Paro Necho, don't come pass through the land. Paro Necho did not listen. Yoshiyahu went out to stop him. There was a battle. Yoshiyahu was brutally killed. They shot in his body 300 spears. They perforated his body like a sieve. Okay, now what happened next? Who became the king to replace Yoshiyahu? Yoshiyahu's son, Yehoiachas. And that's going to be the topic, the king that we're going to focus on now, according to the Mitzudos David. Yehoiachas was now installed as the replacement of Yoshiyahu. This did not last very long. He only remained for 3 months. After 3 months, Paro Necho decided enough of him also. Enough of him also, I'm going to remove him from the throne as well. And he was replaced with Yehoiakim. And Yehoiakim, later, a number of years later, was killed by, 11 years later, was killed by Nebuchadnezzar, and was replaced with Yehoiachin, who only lasted for 3 months and 10 days, and who was later replaced with Tzidkiyah. Okay, that's just a very brief synopsis of the last 22 years of the Bayis Rishon, and we're going to see all of that being reviewed here in this parak. We'll just start very quickly. I want you to have a keynote in the city Yisrael. Let's read one passage to do two together via Marta and give him the following message. Mo imcha Levia. What is this that your mother is a Levia? Levia is the mother lion. Bein Arroyos, between the Arroyos, all of the other lions, Ravotza, she lies down. Besoch Kifirim Ribisa Gureha, amongst her baby lions, she raises her Gureha, her lions.
They're called lion cubs.
We have in this pasuk 1, 2, 4 words for a lion. In fact, Chazal said there are really 7 words. There are 7 words to describe a lion. Each word refers to a different stage in its development. But in this context, the Levi is the mother lion. The Arroyos means other lions that are not children of the mother. They're just lions from the community of lions. They're in the zoo. And then there are Gureha, are the children of the mother lion. And Kifirim are other baby lions. Okay, so the mother lion is the Levia. Her babies are the Gureha. There are other babies in the playground. Those are the Kifirim.
They're somewhat older.
A little bit older. There's a different focus of the Medrash of the age group. But just in the very right. Simple translation of this pasuk, let's make it you're in a playground. And in the playground, there are a lot of mothers who come to watch their children play. So in the actual sand castle or on the swings or on the monkey bars are the children. And on the benches sitting around are the mothers who are there to watch their children play in the playground. So the mother is the Levia. The Arroyos are the other mothers, the other adults who are there, other nannies, adults, or husbands who have no job, who lost their job, and in the meantime they're taking their children to the playground. They're the Arroyos. And the Gureha are the is the child of this Levia. And the Kifirim are the other babies, the other children that are hanging out, they're also in the playground, which are under the care of other adults, under the supervision of other adults. All of these 4 lions are symbolic of different segments of people or kings in the world, the history of the world at a certain point in time, each according to one of the many interpretations. Let's at least just do the Mitzudos, and then we'll stop. Mitzudos, Apostle Aleph. El Nisiyeh Yisrael, Al Nisiyeh Yisrael, Hei Malcha Yehuda Yehoi Ochaz, Vi Ho Yoakim, Yoitze Yerech Yoshio HaMelech. So right away, this is a Chiddush, not everyone is going to agree to this. We're dealing here with the Tekufa of the descendants of Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu had 3 sons, Yehoiachaz, Yehoiakim, and Tzidkiyahu. Each one became king at one point in time before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Yoyachin was the grandson. Yoyachin was the grandson of Yehoiakim. So we have 3, they're total 4 kings who ruled after the death of Yoshiyahu, 4 kings, but they are from 3 sons. Next, more imcha Livia al base Yoshio HaMelech Yoimar. Oh, so he learns the Mitzudos. Not everyone's going to agree to this. We're dealing over here with Yoshiyahu HaMelech Yoimar. Ma me'od hi chashuva likorei Livia eim harayos. The Livia, the mother lion, was Yoshiyahu. Bein Arroyos Ravatsa. In the good old days, he was a tzaddik yesoid olam. And he was at peace with all of the other lions of the world, meaning all of the other kings. All the other kings, there was an alliance, there were friendly relations between the nations and the leaders of the world. Who mashal malchi humais, who son of Laimar, beis hamelech ahu hayu revtsin bein malchi adama, that the king, the beis hamelech ahu hayu revtsin bein malchi adama levetach mibli pachad. Yoshiyahu lived in peace and security with the kings of the entire world. Okay, I told you we'd stop here, so we'll stop here, and we'll pick this up again mitzvah tomorrow. Review this again tomorrow. Take a short break, do a little Haggadah, and then Mayevsky will be mashing.